time for Hype and Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
You know, I am just really kind of getting tired of our whole opening theme song music thing and everything else in the world. So, let's do a program. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm okay. I'm kind of recovering, but I'm okay.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that, about what you're recovering from.
Right.
This week.
This week.
I've come to the conclusion that I hate everything. I want to burn it all and blow it up and send it into the sun.
Yeah, you tend to get to that point very often.
You know, we were testing out the Equip earlier. That's our new. That's the new term for our sound gear we have here, the Equip. And I get some weird interference on my microphone. Can't really be explained. I think I've managed to get it down to a point where it's manageable. But one thing that I realized from listening back to the last couple shows. And it's like, okay, when I talk, if I talk at kind of a normal level, then my voice sort of carries across the room
and it echoes back, right?
It bounces off the wall and it gets picked up a little bit by your microphone.
Right.
So it creates this weird, lazy kind of echo effect that the only solution there seems to be is I need to not talk as loud, which just seems weird. So I have to, like, get up way on the microphone. And it just sounds bad. And when I try to, like, they say that, you know, your sort of preferred distance from the mic for me would be about right here. Well, now I sound like I'm in the other room. So,
oh, yeah.
Unless, you know, let me turn my headphones up a little bit. You know, I just sound, to me, when I listen to it in my headphones, it just sounds like I'm on another planet. I don't really think that's acceptable. So, it's just time to, just burn everything, blow it up, send it into the heart of the sun, and be reborn into a black hole. I'm looking forward to black holes. I don't know how everyone else feels, but frankly, what are we doing here in this life anyway? Jen?
You're just a little ball of happiness today, aren't you?
Well, you know, one thing that will always get me in a good mood is to look at the download numbers right before a show. We'll be talking more about that later. So let's get into some exciting things. Because God knows this is the most exciting podcast that's ever lived. So on our last episode, we talked about the situation with your iMac.
Right.
So just to get everybody caught up, Jen's iMac broke. We took it in to get it fixed. Turned out that it was a bad video card, and it was 2 months shy of a special warranty period where it would have been fixed for free, but no, Apple wasn't going to approve it. So I took certain measures to try and get it covered anyway. And a couple of the things that I did was I sent some emails. One to Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. You might have heard of him. We're totes BFFs, and I have his email address. And I also sent an email to the corporate PR address at Apple. Now, the reason I did that is, and I think I mentioned this on the last show, but years ago, Madge Weinstein over at the East Radio podcast, she had a G5 tower, in case you're wondering how far back in the ancient history of the past we're talking here, that essentially melted down. Now, at that time, Madge was still part of the old Podshow/Mevio conglomerate, the Mega Media conglomerate. And she was able to, by kind of continually hounding Apple and kind of using her position as being part of this, well, I don't know if you could call it a large media company, but for podcasting at that time it was, and in some ways would still be considered that for podcasting. Anyway, she kept pushing and pushing, and finally she got on the radar of who at that time was the senior vice president of PR, and I believe her name was Katie Cook. No relation to Tim as far as I'm aware. And not only, did they not fix Madge's G5 tower, they actually gave her a replacement computer, and by that time, Apple had switched over to the Intel Power Mac. So she got a new computer in place of that one that had melted down, and I don't remember the whole story, just that Apple told her it would be, you know, hundreds of dollars to get it fixed, and I don't know if it was still covered under Apple Care and they were trying to, you know, pull some kind of exception or what the deal was. But I figured, you know, I would ask Madge if she still had the contact information, and she gave it to me. And as it turns out, this Katie Cook person retired from Apple, or, well, left Apple. I think she's still working, but she left the company a year ago, and her email address goes nowhere. Now, I'll give this to Apple, that, you know, they are such a big company and they're so successful and they're so good at kind of, you know, servicing their customers and doing what they do, that they don't really have to kind of, I don't know, bow down to, I think, what a lot of other companies do. Because, like, I sent an email to this Katie Cook's address, and it just bounced back. So that means that, you know, once she left, Apple just said, we're just going to turn off her account. And if anybody tries to contact her, it'll bounce back, and it'll be their problem to, you know, find a new person to contact or whatever. So that wasn't going to be a solution. And this was Tuesday of that week that I sent all these emails, and I set a reminder for myself in roughly 24 hours, so the following Wednesday, 1 p.m., if I did not hear back from anyone at Apple, I would call the store and just, you know, admit defeat and tell them to authorize the repair. And, 1 p.m. Wednesday rolls around and I haven't gotten calls, emails. You know, Tim Cook didn't show up on my doorstep with a shiny new iMac, as I was expecting and also hoping for. You know, we could have come in the studio. We could have done an interview.
That would have been
exclusive,
interesting.
That Tim
would have
Cook
been interesting.
Interview mm-hmm. on Hyper Nonsense.
Sure.
We would have finally, the iTunes podcast team would have no excuse not to feature us. I would tell them, I would go, Tim, the only way that we can really make this right is, and I appreciate the shiny new iMac, you know, the shiny new 5K 27-inch iMac with maxed out RAM, SSD. We appreciate all that. I mean, you could have come by with two.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, it's not like you don't have them just laying around. Like, don't you think there's just a room in Tim Cook's house which is just filled from floor to ceiling with, you know, various Apple products that just weren't, you know, they would be fine for most people, but they just didn't quite, like, make it to the finished stage, you know? You just swing a few of those over. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So that's not what happened.
I could have said, Tim, since we're all BFFs, you know, I'm on your email contact list. You're on mine now. Since we're all BFFs, you know, the only way we can really make this right is you got to go back to Cupertino. You got to find the iTunes people and tell them you got to feature our pod for at least a month, probably two. Maybe the rest of the year. Anyway. 1 o'clock rolls around. No calls, no emails. I call the store. Tell him to go ahead and do the repair. Guy says, all right, we'll get on it. We'll call you when we have an update. And not but maybe 5-10 minutes later, my phone rings. And I immediately recognize the number because I had seen it the previous day when I was looking at the corporate contacts on Apple's website. And I answer it, and it was a young lady. And her name is Jessica, not going to say her last name, no reason to. Jessica from the executive, I think she called it the executive assistance team or something like that. And she said, we got, Mr. Cook received your email, and we just wanted to follow up on it. She said, I want to assure you that I am with the executive team at Apple. I'm not at a call center. So, fine, whatever. I mean, it's all cool, right? And I'm sitting here going, all right, this is it. I got onto Tim's radar. We're getting this done. And she starts kind of asking me, you know, can you just recount your whole experience, you know? Just start from the beginning. And I told her everything, and I'd gotten a case number at one point from AppleCare. And she said, okay, yeah, I see that here. And what it really came down to be really anticlimactic here, I guess, is they were essentially going to toe the corporate line. And she kind of said, well, it looks like everything was handled as it should have been. She said, I sympathize with your situation. I know you said in the email that you have, you know, limited resources and that this is your wife's work computer and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, this is the deal. You know, it's outside of the warranty period. And I'm going to send you a follow-up email that just kind of reiterates all of this. And I'll include the information in there, you know, the official information in there from the Apple website about the replacement plan for the video card. And I said, well, thanks. And that was pretty much the end of the call. So, you know, by now the repair was in full swing. And I guess at the very least, I knew that This was the end of the line. I mean, there wasn't anyone else to call. There wasn't anybody else to email. There wasn't anyone else I was going to hear from. I will say that at, I don't know, one level, I mean, I sent this email to Tim Cook. Now, he has a public-facing email address. You can find it in 2 minutes of, you know, using Google. And Steve Jobs did the same thing. And, you know, every now and then, you know, somebody would send Steve Jobs an irate email about the iPhone. And, you know, they would get a response that would say something like, you know, relax, it's just a phone. And this would send the internet into, like, a tizzy. And, you know, these Apple nerd blogs that, like, follow everything, every last nuance, anything that happens with Apple, they would be like, okay, this looks to be a confirmed response. It's actually from Steve Jobs. We've had our experts analyze all the headers, and it looks like it actually came from Cupertino. Like, you know. So, I mean, I applaud them for having, you know, essentially a direct pipe into the CEO of the company, and apparently, you know, someone is reading these emails and at least in some cases following up on them. And, you know, I was courteous with everything. I didn't go, you know, you suck, your company, your products are shit. You know, I just said, hey, this is a known problem with this machine. And I get that it's outside the warranty, but, you know, just can't you just fix it? I mean, you know it's a problem. I know it's a problem. We all know it's a problem. And can't you just fix it? And they essentially said no. And at a certain level, again, I kind of get it. I mean, if they make, if they were to make a habit of going outside their warranty periods for all the stuff that they sell, you know, that would become a massive problem. I still feel, though, at a certain level, that because they ship these machines with a bad part, you know, it's a different story than if I had dropped my iPhone in the toilet.
And, which I'm sure people have done.
Oh, it happens all the time.
I'm sure they do. I can't quite figure how that happens because I would never think to bring a phone into the bathroom for any reason. Yeah, I don't really have any need to call someone in there, you know.
But you know,
people do.
Friends,
you know. Oh, is that it? Yeah. You know,
Twitter, okay. Facebook, email, all these things that you don't really do with your phone.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't do any of those things with my phone, but like you can't like get to that email in a minute. You know what I mean?
What?
Isn't Words with Friends like it's not, you know, like once it's your turn and it'll wait and be your turn until you take it. You don't have like a time limit. You can like wait a minute and come back to it.
Sometimes, you know, you want to really just maximize your time and be super productive. So
you're super productive playing a game.
Well, but you know, if you are doing that whilst in the bathroom, then you're not doing it whilst, say, you're sitting in front of your computer when you could be doing other things. Or...
Yeah, but still, it just seems like, why even, like, especially at work, if you're in a situation where it's not the bathroom at your house, so you don't really know the level of cleanliness or who's been in there or who's been ill, like, why would you bring in a device that you cannot easily, like, disinfect into a bathroom at all? You know, that's just bizarre to me.
It happens a lot.
I'm sure it does, but I think it's weird.
So anyway, you know, that's pretty much the end of the story. Well, it sort of is. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the next day. I can't remember if it was later that day or the next day. I got a call from the shop. And they said, hey, your computer's fixed. You can come pick it up. It's $470 and change.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, they quoted me before. I mean, I knew what we were getting into. And I did some research on options as far as replacing it instead of repairing it. And the thing is, you know, both of these iMacs we're using, they're 4 years old. But they are almost the complete top of the line from when they were made. They're both 3.1 gigahertz i5s and, you know, really fat. I think one terabyte hard drives. Granted, there's no SSD in there. It's just your old boring, you know, your grandma's old boring spinning disk hard drive. But the video cards are Radeon 6970Ms with 1 gigabyte of video RAM. I believe at the time, Apple made a computer that was one step better. It had a 3.2 gigahertz processor, so just a shade higher than the ones in here. And I think they had a 2 gigabyte video card. So even though the computers are old, for $500, the best thing you could find new would be a Mac Mini that was like 1.4 gigahertz, so less than half as far as the processor is concerned. Now there's other things that would, you know, maybe equalize the speed a little bit, but I just kind of went, you know what? It sucks to put that kind of money into a four-year-old computer, but the reality is if these machines hold up, we're going to be using them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just a matter of hopefully, you know, like I said in the last show, in the next year, you know, the logic board doesn't go out and just kill the whole thing. So there's that. Now, a funny thing maybe happened while the computer was in the shop. The service center actually damaged it because the place we took it to is not the corporate Apple store. It's a local authorized reseller that does service. They fixed my computer last year
when the same card went out.
And you know, right? And yeah. You know, they're a good store. I don't have any problem with them. And I have, you know, through this whole thing, I don't have any problem with them. There's no negativity towards them because it's not up to them what Apple's policies are. And I don't feel like, you know, they gouged us out as far as, you know, what they charged. We wouldn't have got it fixed cheaper any other way. And in fact, if we had taken it to, say the corporate Apple store here in town, if they would have even fixed it, which I don't know that they would have, but if they would have, more than likely, they would have shipped it off somewhere. You know, they would not have done the repair in store. They would have shipped it off to one of, you know, so it would have been gone a lot longer. And, but while it was in the shop, it got damaged. And what's weird about this is, you know, the store closes at 7. And admittedly, we got there a little late when we went to pick it up. We probably got there about 6:15. And, you know, they don't have I don't know, they're not fully staffed at that time of the day. You know, they're getting ready to close.
So
they're heading into shutdown mode.
I just kicked the desk. Oops.
And, you know, we get over there and there's like one guy in the back and he's helping a customer and, you know, he says, I'll get to you as soon as I can. And we're like, fine, you know, take your time. We're not in any hurry.
And we let him know we're just here for a pickup. He's like, oh, good. And he didn't really say that, but you could tell, you know.
And
it wasn't something new he had to deal with before he, you know, could leave. It was just a pickup. So yeah.
He had clearly gotten into a bit of a wormhole with a customer. He was, you know, he was helping her, like, remove some kind of malware or some.
Oh, was this the granny that he was talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was. What had happened with her, from what I could determine, is she ended up getting talked to by somebody that was supposedly going to protect her computer from viruses or something. And he wanted her to download something, and she didn't download it. And he was, like, looking at different things. And at some point, he said how much money he wanted for whatever this was, and she kind of went, okay, no. And so now she wasn't sure what he'd done to her computer, so she brought it in to have it checked to see, did he put anything weird on here? What is this? And so the guy was helping her and going through every little thing, knowing full well what these type of scammers tend to do, so he knew where to look for things and all that. And fortunately, she was okay. You know, she didn't get screwed by whoever this guy was.
Yeah.
And he was talking her through, like, okay, I'm looking at this thing and this is why. And, you know, that kind of, you know, totally talking her through what was going on with her laptop and everything. And I think the guy might have said something like he had stuff on her machine that was a .exe, but it's a Mac, so it can't even run it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just kind of weird, but she was okay, but he was still kind of talking her through it and all that. And they do a really good job over there. He was very patient explaining everything.
It sounds like, you know, in one of the shows earlier, I had dropped in the recording that I made when one of these tech support scam companies called me.
Right.
It sounds like one of those things, and this is even... Mm-hmm. You know, these things are even worse when you're on a Mac because none of the stuff, like most of the stuff that they claim that they're protecting you from doesn't apply to a Mac.
Right.
In any way.
Right. But she didn't end up giving him any money or any way to access her bank accounts or anything.
Well, so she was smart enough. That's not entirely true.
Is that not?
No.
Because one of the things...
Well, I think that she did give over a credit card number, but one of the things that the guy said was, you know, just dispute the charge with the credit card company.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And let them know that, you know, you basically got scammed and, you know, they'll probably reverse the charges, you know, no questions asked.
Okay, so she must have backed out of the whole situation when the guy increased the price or something.
It's possible.
You know, maybe something like that. So, because I know that's when she went, okay, wait, something's wrong. But yeah. I didn't realize she had given him that. But at least her computer wasn't all screwed up, you know.
Right. So, you know, it was weird. It was weird on one level because we were... You know, we waited for probably at least a half hour.
Right. Well, they had the one guy working there. They had a manager, and they had a couple of cashiers that the manager was closing out.
Right. And, you know, there were a few other people working in the store. And then finally, and I think they were helping customers in the front, whatever. Finally, somebody comes back and kind of checks us in, finds out why we're there. And, you know, they go into the back of the store where they, you know, presumably have the repair area. Riparia. And the, you know, finally at like 5 minutes to 7, a guy comes out with the iMac and he sets it on the counter and he says, well, here's your computer. You know, but unfortunately while it was here, something happened and it looks like, the screen here up, it was at, up at the very top, almost in the left corner, if you're facing the computer, there was a ding in the glass, maybe about a half inch across, give or take. It had no bearing on the functionality of the computer at all. And he said, this is totally our fault. We will repair, you know, we'll replace the screen for you, but unfortunately we don't have any in stock right now, so we have to order the part. You can leave it here or you can take it home and bring it back. And I said, well, you know, I motioned to Jen because it's her computer. I said, well, I know she's dying to get this back. So let's just take it home. And when you get the part, give us a call. Because he was saying, this was Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, we probably won't get it till Saturday. And this store is closed on Sundays. So I'm figuring if we leave it there, we're not going to get it back at the earliest until Monday. And it just seemed silly.
To have it sit there that long.
When we could bring it home and use it.
Right. And that was the thing. Like, this computer just died. Like, that card just died. There was no warning. So I didn't have time to, like, go, okay, what do I absolutely need to have in order to work? What do I need to have otherwise? Can I pull it off of here really quick? I didn't have time for that, you know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of, like, making do, you know? Like, okay, I think I remember what I was doing here. And I think I, you know, I had some stuff on the external drive, but not a lot. And I'm like, all right, well, it's slowing me down, but I can keep working, kind of. And I didn't want to keep that circumstance. You know, I wanted my computer back so I could access all my stuff and, you know, work with it.
So this is, you know, so we brought the computer home and it worked just fine. And this little ding in the screen was on the top, actually on the bezel. So it had no impact on your ability to use the computer. Like, it wasn't even...
It wasn't like the screen was all cracked or anything.
Right. It wasn't even on what you would sort of call the viewable area of the screen. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And on, I think it was the following Monday, you know, they called me and said, you know, the part's in. You can bring the computer by and we'll replace the part for you. We can probably turn it around, you know, same day if you bring it in early enough. And that was late Monday afternoon-ish. And I just kind of went, well, let's wait till the next day. Because I think you were asleep.
I probably was.
And and that's what we did. And we took it in on Tuesday. And, you know, they fixed it. We went and did some other stuff while they were working on it. And... you know, it's all back now and
it's all good.
As good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, a couple of, small follow-ups here. We did get some hyper-nonsense fan activism.
On our
behalves here to try and, you know, kind of get the public word out here that we were fighting this battle.
Okay.
Against the mighty Apple Corporation. And Rolly from Dark Compass actually posted on the Apple Reddit And I'm assuming, I don't know how official this Reddit thing is in relation to Apple, but regardless, it's the part of Reddit that is devoted to all things Apple. Now, I did, you know, write a blog post about the experience, you know, up to that point. And I've, in fact, written a follow-up blog post that covers everything we pretty much just talked about. But at this point, you know, the first one was all that was up there. And he posted it to the Apple Reddit, and he said, disabled person needs help to get his iMac fixed, with a link to the blog post. And, you know, that was a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I didn't know he did that.
And this generated, let's see, this generated a whopping 2 comments on Reddit. One was posted by a user called End of the Dream. And End of the Dream says, stopped reading as soon as he started listing out all the Apple products he owns. That's one that I absolutely cannot stand. People that think they deserve different treatment just because they own more stuff.
No, that really wasn't the point of it, but he can take it that way if he'd like to be, well, you know, he's named himself End of the Dream. This is a cynical, depressed person to begin with, so I don't really expect anything other than that type of answer from someone who self-identifies as End of the Dream, you know?
End of the Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll admit that maybe that was a bit egregious, but I wanted to kind of show that, hey, you know, we are pretty loyal customers. It's not like this was the first Apple thing we ever owned.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more comment by tech support victim.
Oh, my.
Who says, you might be the first user I've encountered that didn't check every possible unit for a repair program and try to get it fixed, even if it had no issues. Now, okay.
So I think what he's suggesting is that you hear about this video card, so you lie to some Apple store and you say, it's not working, I need it fixed.
Right.
And then you go get it fixed before the warranty, even though it was still working, which is kind of like lying and may or may not be legal. But, you know, this is Reddit. What did we really expect, honestly? You know?
Well, and I will say this. I mean, I had, because, okay, this computer that I have was purchased in November of 2011. And the video card went out in January, February of 2014. So obviously it was within the 4-year period. And me taking it in is how I learned about this whole video card thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And 6-7-ish months later, give or take, you got that iMac, which was actually kind of a hand-me-down.
Right.
A friend had upgraded, and he's at a point in his life where he didn't want to go. For him, the trouble of selling it was more than he felt he would get in return for the money.
Right. So, plus, this is another person that really likes Apple, and he wanted to make sure that it would go to someone who was going to use it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he knew I would.
So it was very generous, and it was a nice upgrade for Jen from she was using a MacBook Air,
right? Which I got in barter, technically. So
was tethered to to KVM and everything. So
right, yeah. I mean, but that one was a situation where it was in exchange for writing, editing, this type of work. You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. So, you know, I knew when we got it, and I looked up, you know, I looked at it and I checked the profile, and I realized that it was identical to my computer. I mean, it's everything is identical. That there was a chance that it could fall, you know, victim to the bad video card. And I thought about, okay, you know, is there anything to be done about this? But the thing is, from my understanding of how Apple has kind of worded the requirements for this special repair extension is if if your iMac goes down, bring it in to get it checked out, and if it turns out to be the video card, we'll replace it. It doesn't say we acknowledge that this is broken, and you know, at your earliest convenience, please take your machine in and we will replace the video card. It says if your card turns out to be defective within this period, we will replace it. And there's no way to know it's defective until it goes down.
Right.
It isn't, you know, if we had taken it in, you know, the day after we got it,
they would have said, well, it's still working. It looks fine to me.
Yeah. Ask them to diagnose, you know, I don't know, run a diagnostic on it. They would have said, everything looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy our tune-up service for $50 and it'll probably run, slightly noticeably faster. And that would be the end of the story. So there wasn't really anything to do about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get where tech support victim is going with this, but even if we had tried to be proactive, I don't think it would have made any difference. So yeah. One more thing, and I mentioned earlier that, you know, I wrote a follow-up post, you know, about the experience with, you know, getting called by Apple and you know, sending an email to Tim Cook and all that. And I posted that. And, of course, I posted it on Twitter. And Paul Roberts responded to that. And he said, not impressed. They should have recalled the faulty IMAX instead of secretly fixing them. And he included @Tim_Cook in there. So, you know, we had we had some hyper nonsense fan activism on our behalf.
We did, which was very nice. I didn't even know about it, but that was very nice. But yeah, I don't see very much good coming from Reddit. I mean, I appreciate Rolly's attempt, and maybe it could have worked out well. But I am unsurprised that the two that felt the need to comment instead of do something else about it were those types of comments in general. You know. Yeah, and you know what? I think that if you hadn't written an article saying I have all these other Apple products, he probably would have complained because, oh, you're disabled and think you're entitled. I think this guy was looking for someone to start an argument with, you know.
Well, needless to say, that, you know, that particular item did not in fact make it to the front page of the internet.
Right. Well, so, it was a nice try. It could have worked.
Well, and it was appreciated. I'll say that I have really no experience with Reddit. It's just one of those things where I go, is this really a nut I want to crack?
Yeah, and well, I've read a lot of things about Reddit, and none of them are good. And, so I kind of stay away. I don't think it's a very welcoming place for women in general, and a lot of people otherwise, I think. You know? Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered this one to death. So I do want to mention that, just a couple days ago, actually, we kind of, as a belated anniversary gift to ourselves, because, you know, we're really living the life over here. We took a little trip to the California Mid-State Fair.
Yes, I actually made it out the door to do it. It took a lot of effort.
Well, in some cases, that is certainly something you can do all of in a day. We decided to make a little more of a trip out of it, and we got a hotel. The town where Mid-State Fair occurs is about 45 minutes, give or take, north of here by car. And it is kind of a big event here. It goes for, you know, I think a week and a half.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Approximately. And you know, we usually go every year. And this was, I mean, we did go to the Van Halen concert last year, but this year, you know, was just there was no agenda beyond. We were just going to go to the fair. We got a hotel. We rode the bus so Jen wouldn't have to drive.
Right.
Because Jen hates driving.
Yeah, I do hate driving. This is true. But I wouldn't want to try to park down there, and health sucks right now. Like, this year has been the worst one ever, and I wasn't sure, like, okay, so I drive there and have, like, a huge allergy attack at the fair. I can either take medication to alleviate that or drive home. That's not a good situation to be in, you know?
You know, we rode the bus. We had to, we took a grand total of 3 buses, and we're fortunate that they all pretty much lined up as expected.
Yeah.
So we didn't, you know, get stranded anywhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we got over to our hotel, checked in, and we stayed at the Adelaide Inn. A travel tip here for anyone visiting the luxurious Paso Robles area. The hotel we stayed in last year was the Paso Robles Inn, which is a, you know, I don't know. None of these places I would say are quote unquote nice. They're not, you know,
They're not crappy hotels that you have to worry about the cleanliness of. I mean, they're good. They're just not like, you know, good, the Hilton, you know, or something, I guess. You know, I don't know.
You know, 3 to 4 stars somewhere in that range, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They're nice.
You know, they're good. And the nice thing about the Adelaide Inn, if you're going to go to the fair, is it's really close by. And we... you know, we actually found out about the place because a relative of mine did some work there. I didn't even, when I was searching for hotels, it didn't even come up in my search.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, we get over there, we get checked in, and it's totally fine. The guy behind the front desk is really nice.
Extremely friendly. He let us know, oh, hey, you know, you're going to the fair. There's an entrance right over there nearby, you know, pointed us right to it.
It was like a secret side entrance.
Yeah, and it was right by where all the animals are. Yeah. So, like, you know, the kids that are coming in and out because they're tending animals can kind of just go through there and not have to go through the big, you know, lines and stuff. And, you know, he also pointed out a pizza place nearby, you know. It was really nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we get all checked in, and we walk over to the fair. And if you've ever been to a county fair or, you know, I don't really understand entirely the history of this fair in the sense that they call it the Mid-State Fair. And it's sort of, I mean, it technically is the San Luis Obispo County Fair. Like, okay, there's a county fair. Presumably every county in California has a fair. You know, the Santa Barbara County Fair is called the Santa Barbara County Fair. It's not called the, you know, Santa Barbara Area State Fair. Now, I don't know if, you know, because California is such a large state, if, like, there's an official designation that, you know, like, this, like, the state fair is in Sacramento, and then we have the Mid-State Fair, and then maybe there's a Southern State Fair. California State Fair or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But, or if at some point in the past, you know, the county fair just said, how about we call ourselves the Mid-State Fair? It just sounds so much cooler. I don't know. But it's a state fair. Mm-hmm. You go there and there's animals and there's people and there's food.
Pretty much.
And then they have, you know, the usual exhibits, the stuff that's put on by, you know, the 4-H and all the different crafts and...
Mm-hmm.
Whatnot.
And there's like a little carnival area, and there's generally some bands around and a lot of food, and, you know, it's just, it's the fair. Y'all know what a fair is.
Right. You know, it's kind of like, and this one is big enough that they have, you know, that they have their sort of grandstand arena, if you will, their main arena where, you know, relatively large touring acts will come through and play. I mentioned that we saw Van Halen there last year.
Right.
We saw Stone Temple Pilots there years ago.
Right.
This year, we had talked about going to the Motley Crue / Alice Cooper show.
It didn't end up going.
Decided against it just because of the expense of the tickets. Glad we didn't, because that turned out to be a whole affair where the bands showed up late because there was a hole in their airplane.
And yeah, and they weren't cleared to leave because the... They said the plane wouldn't pressurize correctly or something, so they couldn't do that, and they tried to find another way to get from wherever they were to down here, and it turned out they got there like 2 hours late, which pushes things back pretty far, because those concerts start kind of late, and didn't go as planned.
Yeah, Motley Crue, from what I understand, wound up playing a 10-song set, and if I had paid... Mm-hmm. If I had paid that kind of money for a 10-song set, I would have been upset. Now, it's my understanding that once it looked like things were going to be delayed,
mm-hmm.
if people had you know, gone up to the ticket booth and said, hey, this is not cool. I want my money back. They gave refunds, no questions asked. But if people waited till the end of the show, they said, nope.
They've already seen the show, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. And I guess, like, Alice Cooper opened and from what little I've read, did a pretty good show.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess he played all the hits, things people now want to hear, and, you know, just kind of gave the crowd what they wanted. And then Motley Crue only did the 10 songs, which the crowd was not very thrilled with.
But, you know, in their defense, it wasn't their fault.
No,
they
did their best
to show up and do the show. I mean, this is, you know, while it is a fairground, you know, it is still in a relatively small town. You know, they and the fair itself closes at midnight. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they were going to be able to, you know, go on and play till 2, 3 a.m.
Right.
I mean, that just wasn't, it's not the facility for it. You know, if you're playing at, you know, a big arena, you know, in the vicinity of a large city, you can probably get away with that kind of stuff. But you can't do that, you know, at a relatively small venue like this. So anyway, that doesn't concern us because we didn't go.
Right. So we didn't end up going to for that. But we went
to any of
the shows. We just went to the fair going, well, let's just go and hang out.
And, you know, we went and looked at all the stuff, and we were able to find something Jen could eat, so that's always exciting.
Yep, always good.
And we walked around a bit. I tried my best to convince Jen to go on the Ferris wheel, but she wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid of heights, and I used to work at an amusement park, and I know exactly how easy it is to break those things and or catch them on fire. So I don't, not just Ferris wheels, but all those little things. So, yeah, cursed for life on that. Just not going anywhere near any of them anymore.
For anyone that, you know, was looking forward to the Periscope video I was going to make from the Mid-State Fair, Ferris wheel.
Yeah, well, I told you, you could go.
About and emailed everyone about and said, look forward to.
Oh, you didn't say you had
our
that
Mid-State
done.
Fair Periscope video. It's going to be a real treat for all of our fans.
Yeah, well, nobody told me about that, you know, so.
Jen wouldn't allow it, so send all your hate mail.
Well, you know, I told you, you could go get tickets. You could go get tickets and you could go on there yourself and still Periscope, but I can't handle that.
That's not any fun.
Yeah, well, I can't handle the heights of it just in general. And then, you know, like I said, used to work in an amusement park
but
running rides. Not a good thing.
To protect you.
Yeah, well, if it breaks in the way that I know they can, it won't matter, you know.
How many times that you and I have ever ridden a Ferris wheel together, has there ever been a problem?
Well, we've barely ridden a Ferris wheel together. I think we did one in Chicago.
Yeah, see? So we're batting 1,000 on Ferris wheels.
Yeah, but like the one in Chicago stays put. This is a carnival. It picks up and goes every so often.
It doesn't stay put. It goes around in a circle.
Well, it doesn't move to a new location. I mean, just, I don't know, all the things I know about how things could go wrong when you put those back together, just, yeah. I'll spare you all the details so I don't ruin all of that for you as well, but.
Well, yeah. I won't spare you all the details. Here they are. Jen worked at a place in Illinois called Santa's Village.
I did. I was 15 when I started, and I was barely legal to run the rides. I had to have somebody with me.
Barely legal.
Yeah,
go
I
on.
Was 15. You had to be 16 to run the rides by yourself because they involved keys, and so they were machinery. So you had to have, like, you'd be old enough to drive, you know, kind of thing. And I wasn't because I was 15, and I looked like I was about 13, I think. And so the way they were doing this way back then was they'd just hire high school kids to run these things, and your training was about 5 minutes in the morning where you'd sign a clipboard to show that you were, in fact, at the ride you'd been assigned to at the right time before the park opened, and a college student would come around and say, okay, here's the key, hit this. If it does this, hit that. This is the timing you need. They'd run it for you once and say, there you go. Okay. That was it, right?
Yeah.
So things would break. I have managed to get one of these smaller roller coasters stuck a few times. One time it caught fire. That was interesting. Nobody had seen that before somehow, but then other people came by and said, yeah, I've had that happen too. You know, I knew some of the kid rides did not have brakes because they were instructing the ride operators to, you know, hey, if you see a kid try to jump off of this thing, try to go into the ride and physically stop it with your body, even though this thing had like centrifugal going, you know, it's like things like that. I've seen the Ferris wheel, get stuck periodically. I've seen the Ferris wheel get stuck because the ride operator left.
Park,
you know,
ride horror stories. You got them. So we get the point.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't go on the Ferris wheel
because I don't do that anymore.
So, we went and kind of walked around through all the rides just to kind of see, hey, it's part of the fair. We paid. We'll go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I knew that was going to happen, because I had looked at the schedule for the fair that day, and what they do is they have all these sort of secondary, if you will, stages around the fair. And different shows and bands and stuff come to play. And those shows are all free. Whereas if you want to go to Motley Crue, you got to pay extra.
Right, of course.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were over there, it just so happened while we were over there, and I knew that this band was going to play on one of these free stages, and I knew which one it was. We just weren't entirely sure where it was. And while we were over there, all of a sudden I hear it. It's a song, you know, it's a song from the band Kiss. And I knew immediately that we were in the vicinity, not of the band Kiss, but of the band Mini Kiss,
mm-hmm.
which is a...
It's a cover band of mostly Kiss songs.
Well, a Kiss tribute band, I think is fair to say.
Oh, yeah. They had the costumes and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the
individuals in there have what might be technically called dwarfism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're small of stature and they have, you know, all the medical things different that you would assume that goes along with that condition. And each one took on the personality of one member of Kiss and had the whole makeup and the hair and the everything. You know?
This would, of course, be the classic Kiss lineup, which in this case was portrayed by Mini Ace, Mini Peter, Mini Paul and Mini Gene.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were hoping for, say, you know, a Mini Bruce Kulick, he was not there.
Right.
Or a Mini Vinny Vincent, which Mini Vinny, I mean, how could we?
That would have been interesting.
There was no Mini Vinny.
No.
Mini Eric Carr. There was no Mini Mark St. John. It was just Mini. You know, the four original members, the classic lineup of Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, these guys had the costumes, the makeup, the whole thing.
They had essentially the stage had sort of a catwalk down the middle of part of the crowd, and they were using it, man.
Oh, yeah. They got a lot of mileage.
They were really good at getting the crowd activated. You know, like they were having people clap, you know, at certain times to go with the rhythm of the song or wave their hands or whatever. They were really good at working the crowd. And then towards the end, a couple of them actually got off the stage and went walking through the crowd, and one of them was in the bleachers in the back.
He went far.
Oh, yeah. Like, really got into the crowd. So they had a lot of fun with that, I'm sure. But the crowd was loving it.
Now, I kind of meant to do some research on this and just haven't gotten around to it yet. What I'm trying to understand is whether or not the entire show was essentially a lip sync act or if they actually played live.
I don't know.
And when we first got there, it sure sounded to me like a live show. But I know that towards the end, they were not playing live. But boy, in the beginning of the show, it sounded like they were actually playing. Now, I took a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going over the pictures and I was trying to look for some telltale signs of, okay, you know, are the guitarists actually plugged in at all? And I did notice that there was a lead coming out of Mini Ace's guitar that presumably could have been connected to a wireless transmitter. Which is a totally normal thing for a guitar player to use on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But in one of the photos, Mini Gene's bass does not appear to be plugged into anything. And I was trying to look at some of the photos from earlier in the show from when we first got there.
Mm-hmm.
And those were farther back. So it's a little harder to tell. Now, it sure sounded to me like what we were hearing was live.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe 6-7 songs into the set, Mini Peter and Mini Jean, I think, traded places. And, you know, as someone who is, you know, maybe a little more than a casual Kiss fan, I kind of went, okay, you guys are, you know, this would never happen at an actual Kiss show. Like, there's no way in hell, there's no way in hell that Paul Stanley would ever get behind a drum kit. Or Gene Simmons, rather, whoever was it was.
I think it was Paul.
I think it was Paul.
Yeah.
But there's no way that this would ever, I mean, no way Paul Stanley would ever do this. But I noticed after that that it really sounded like they were starting to just kind of mime to backing tracks, because the vocals sounded exactly like Paul Stanley. And I was like, this is not, something changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it became really obvious when, you know, the songs would just kind of end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, these guys are on, they're not actually playing live anymore. And I went, okay, maybe there's a reason for this. Maybe they'll go back. I don't know that they ever really did go back to playing live at all, if they ever even started. I know towards the end, you know, they absolutely were not. I mean, this was, you know, especially at the end when, you know, Rock and Roll All Night was playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were just walking up and down, all the members of the band. For some reason, you know, Mini Peter decided to hang out and sort of mime playing the drums for a while, but the other three guys were just walking up and down the catwalk and, you know, high-fiving and...
All the drunk people that, you know, came over,
just,
yeah.
No, uh-huh. I mean, there was no... There was barely any... Even the slightest attempt to try to, you know, make anybody believe that they were still playing their instruments.
But they were entertaining anyway.
But all things considered... All things considered... All things considered, it was, you know, an entertaining thing to see for free. And the thing I do want to say is, and this is why I want to research, if what we heard when we first got there was them playing or mostly playing, then they sound good. I mean, if any of that was actually being played live, you know, some portion of Mini Kiss has some chops, because it didn't suck. So I'll give them credit there if they do in fact deserve it. But either way, it was kind of a cool thing to see.
Yeah, it was, you just know, kind of fun.
It wasn't,
yeah,
like we knew that they were going to play, but we didn't go, well, let's, you know, make a beeline over to Mini Kiss so we can be right in the front. And we were right in the front anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, I think they did several shows. I don't think they just did one show. You know?
They did two shows that night, and okay, we caught the early one, and they were going to do... They played for about an hour, which is what I figured, because they were scheduled to play at 6:30 and again at 8:30. So I figured they'd probably do, you know, a 60, 75-minute set, and mm-hmm, then take a break and come back. And, you know, we didn't need to go back for the second set.
No, one was fine. You know, one was fine. But it was, the crowd was interesting as well, yeah, because you had people there that were wearing Kiss shirts, you know, and mm-hmm, there was a lady and a man behind us that brought like a, it wasn't exactly a flag, but kind of a fabric, yeah, that had Kiss, yeah, printed on it or something. They were waving, yeah, you know, at the band. And I don't know if they were sober or drunk, but they were really talkative and giggly. And these were adults, so they weren't like high schoolers being giggly on a date or something. These were adults. And, you know, the band started introducing themselves, you know, Mini, fill in the name kind of thing. And they introduced the drummer. And the woman's like, oh, imagine if your name was Mini Peter. And I'm like, yeah, oh, my God, grow up, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was kind of funny. But as the thing went on, there was a group of young men on the other side of the catwalk from us in the front. And they were hammered, okay? You could tell from across the stadium. And, well, it wasn't really a stadium, but close enough, you know? And these guys just kept getting closer and closer to the stage, you know? They'd gotten out of their seats, they're getting closer and closer to the stage. These are, like, young people. And you could see, like, the security guys were wearing bright yellow shirts. And you could see the one security guy on our side kind of point at the other, you know, security people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there were two security people standing between this group of drunk guys and the barrier in front of the stage. And then there was a really large security guy. And somehow he just ended up over there. You know what I mean? They're all migrating into this group and stuff. But there were a lot of people that were going up to the catwalk, knowing that the members of the band were going to come walking down it, and trying to take a selfie with the band behind them, and the band accommodated by making, you know, like acting like, you know, posing essentially, you know, like playing the guitar, making the faces and all that stuff, you know, so they could get into the picture with whoever it was that was trying to take a selfie. And there was like, it was, you know, all ages doing this. There was a dad that had two little kids that both had earplugs in. I could see they had earplugs, which was good, mm-hmm. you know, to protect them because they were little. One was like a baby, and one was like maybe, you know, just able to walk kind of. And he brought them up to the front of the stage, and he was like pointing at the band and explaining things, you know, like I bet he was a Kiss fan. He was trying to explain it, and the kids are just like, I don't know what this is, Dad, you know, that kind of look, you know. And there's another woman that had like a toddler, and she'd done face painting or gotten his face painted to match Gene, you know?
Yeah.
And the kid is just like, I don't know what this is. I mean, these kids were just like, they were very confused. They don't know what they were looking at. And as the set went on, a lot of these older drunk guys just started like rushing up to the catwalk and making faces and doing air guitar. And I'm just like, okay, we've got the drunk crowd now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that the crowd was very receptive. I mean, they were, you know, they were just enjoying the show, and I don't think it even crossed their mind if, you know, these guys were playing live at all.
I don't think they cared. They were having a good time.
They were just having a good time.
And if you're having a good time, that's the whole point. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it all works out. But and anytime I'm in a crowd, I mean, I'm not very big. And, you know, I see these very large drunk dudes walking around. I'm like, okay, problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not because I think they're going to, like, hit on me or anything, but because they could literally trample me. And, you know, I'm just like, not cool. Really don't want to fight with them, you know? So it was just kind of uncomfortable. And I went up to the catwalk. Everybody went up to the catwalk of the last song. Because why, you know, why the hell not?
Why
you know?
Not? Yeah.
Just stand there and be happy. And these two, like, really big drunk dudes that must have been close to my age, I think, you know? They like kind of muscled me out of the way. I'm like, oh, big man, muscled out the, you know, 5'3" girl here, you know? I don't know what they expected. Like, I don't know if they thought that my standing there was somehow going to ruin their ability to, I don't know, cheer at Mini Kiss or something.
Right.
You know, it was just so silly. But I got back in there anyway.
You know? Well, you know, it was funny. Almost right across from where we were, I could see this small group of people. And I took notice of this one guy because he was wearing a Chicago Cubs shirt, which is something you don't see a lot.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Yeah.
Yeah. He was wearing a Cubs shirt, and you know, he was just, and I'm sure, you know, as a good Cubs fan, he had had his fair share of, you know, alcohol mm-hmm. by that time.
Right.
And he was also having a good time, but it's funny. I have a photo of, I think it's Minnie Jean, and he's walking back sort of in front of me on the catwalk, and mm-hmm. he's going one direction or another. And I've got this guy in the Cubs shirt, like sort of right behind him. And he's just got this really like serious, like, you know, like he's really into it kind of face. Like, yeah, you know. So,
yeah, so I'd have to say based on this that Mini Kiss was a big hit.
Yeah, I don't think mm-hmm. anybody walked away from that feeling like, you know, it was a bad show.
That was a good time. And I think, you know, okay, maybe they weren't playing live. Maybe they weren't playing live the whole thing, but they sure got the crowd going, you mm-hmm. know? They really did. They made it very interactive, and that's not easy to do, you know?
And it's like, you know, when I look at these pictures and I'm trying to kind of discern, you know, was it in, you know, what, how actually musical was the act? And I do believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe that Mini Ace was playing a real guitar. And when I look at some of the other guitars, because obviously these guys had to have instruments that were made to scale, right?
Well, right.
If they, you know, if they tried to use a standard size instrument, it wouldn't be too big for them. I mean, it's just the way it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, instruments are designed a certain size, you know.
And, you know, looking a little closer, because I have a little bit of experience with instruments, you know, it just kind of like some of them just look like maybe they were just more, you know, of a prop than anything else. But anyway, it was fun. And if Mini Kiss comes to your, you know, county fair,
go check them out. You know, it's they're a good time.
You could do worse for an hour of your life.
It was fun.
So after that, you know, we had been at the fair for a few hours, and we checked out a few other things we hadn't seen, and just kind of said, okay, this is enough fun for one day.
Right.
We went back to the hotel, and
well, we went to the pizza place.
We were on our way, and we'd kind of talked about, you know, getting some more food to eat, because it had been a few hours since we'd eaten, and we didn't really eat that much earlier, so...
Yeah, we like just enough to get by, you know.
When we checked in at the hotel, the guy behind the counter said, well, this pizza place across the street, if you show him your card, you can get a discount. And he gave us a menu. Right,
and they had gluten-free pizza.
Well, that was the thing. Before we left, you examined the menu to see if there's anything you could eat.
And there was, because they had gluten-free pizza crust. And so, when we got there, we ordered, you know, and... the guy behind the counter was like, okay, so do you have celiac disease? How, you know, put it in, you know, he was telling me that if you do, you know, that we could do certain things with that, but if you don't, you know, just let us know. And I said, no, I don't have celiac disease. I have severe allergies. And he's like, okay, well, how bad would you say your allergies are? Because we can put it in our whole, like, you know, other oven that we do for people that have celiac and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I'm probably okay, you know. And then, you know, I was like, I don't know. And he said, oh, well, you know, the flour we use to, like, and he didn't really explain it very well, but I think what he meant was the flour they put on the counter so that the dough doesn't stick or onto the pan so the dough doesn't stick or whatever was rice flour. It wasn't wheat. And I'm like, okay, I will probably be okay with that.
That would be fine for you.
Yeah, that was fine.
To the best of my knowledge, you don't believe you had any, right? Since that night, you haven't had any, you know,
gluten reaction at all, and it would have been obvious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because generally what happens is I'll eat something with gluten in it, and my skin and my arms will start itching.
Yeah.
And that's the first sign, and then it goes from there. But, that's just for me. It differentiates in people. But like I said, I don't have celiac. I have allergies. So that's why the itching is starting. I don't know why in my arms. It's not like my arms are touching my food or something, but that's where it is. And I didn't have that at all. It was, you know, it truly was a gluten-free pizza. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So we got the pizza. It was a small, you know, a little small pizza.
But
it was enough. I mean, I got a salad too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was enough food for us, and we went back to the hotel and found some stupid TV show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time we stay in a hotel,
yeah,
it allows us to get, you know, a little reacquainted with TV, you know, cable TV, or in this case, satellite TV. We have, you know, our mighty antenna here that gets about a half a dozen channels if we're lucky. So, you know, we don't have a whole lot of exposure on a day-to-day basis. And every time we do, it's kind of like this weird thing where, at least for me, I realize a few things. One of them is the TV really does make you stupid, because there's all
terrible.
This stuff, the majority of which is not really very good, but yet it can kind of suck you in. And then you kind of feel your brain start to turn off, and it's like...
And the commercials are even worse.
And the commercials
every
are
time
worse.
We come back and you know, watch television, like at a hotel, where we're sitting through commercials, they're always worse than we remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if commercials have changed in the amount of time since, you know, whenever we stopped having that, but, oh my God. Like, there was this one that was thrown into some show... And it was from Ron Paul, not Rand Paul, but Ron Paul. And he was talking about something like, I can't even remember what it was, but it was like, you have to call now or this can happen to you.
Oh, he was saying that, you know, all the experts that he's spoken to are saying that the economy is definitely going to collapse in a more severe way than even what happened in the 2008 recession. And
but he never named who the experts were or why they think so. There were no stats. You know, there was nothing to back it up. It was extraordinarily vaguely worded. And I think he wanted you to go to his website, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, but you're not telling me anything concrete here. Well, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing here.
It was,
The sky is falling. Come to my website. You know, I mean, it was just like, really? You know, like, could you make an attempt to make it believable? Like, here is my expert, this person who you could like verify, but no, didn't even need to do that.
Yeah.
Just kind of did the sky is falling, come to my website thing. And I assume maybe, I don't know if it works for him, but it was like really shocking at how little info was in that thing. You know?
Well, and then, you know, later on, you know, after the first time you went to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sleep and wake up.
I was, because, you know, of course, over next to the pizza place, there was a Starbucks, so right. We had to go there.
Of course.
And there's really nothing better, in my opinion, than getting yourself a venti espresso drink at 8, 9 p.m. at night.
See, I can do that.
And
I'm drinking a coffee now,
right,
but coffee affects me differently.
Yes.
Yeah, like it makes me sleepy. It makes me more relaxed.
So, you know, I, of course, did that. And
right. Couldn't sleep.
And well, and I don't generally sleep well in hotels right. anyway.
And I knocked out because I took half a Benadryl after getting right. out of the fair because I was around, you know, animals and hay everywhere and a lot of dust because the Mid-State Fair was intentionally cutting back on the amount of water they were spraying around because of the drought, you know, so there's more dust around and, you know, walking through some areas that had flowers. And so I knew, like, I better take something or I'm going to wake up really sick. So I took half a Benadryl and it knocked me out.
So, you know, I was just kind of, I mean, literally left to my own devices. I figured out something that is pretty cool and works surprisingly well, considering Apple's history on this. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to transfer some of the photos I'd taken with my iPhone to my iPad, and discovered that if you turn on AirDrop on the devices, you can just do that. I was stunned by how well it worked because I've never tried it before, and for years... And I mean, they've hardly solved this, but for years, getting files in and out of iOS has been a science project. And I don't use PhotoStream, so I figured maybe there'll be some way to make this work, but probably it's not going to. So I was happy about that because I spent some time just, you know, doing some basic editing of the photos and kind of deleting ones that really weren't necessary. And that was good because it saved me. It just allowed me to not have to do that when I got it home. And I had nothing but time in the hotel. I mean, I was just watching dumb TV shows. So I spent some time doing that and just playing with other things on my iPad and flipping around on the TV. And I don't know what, somewhere around like midnight, I think, or 1 o'clock, I started seeing these really bizarre shows on Adult Swim.
The which Cartoon Network it thing, right
which
yeah.
has always,
it's know, always
those
been
shows
weird.
Have always been weird.
Mm-hmm.
But these shows I watched were like even stranger. Like there was one called Axe Cop, which is these shows, and there's another one called Major Lazer. And these shows are like, you know, if you sort of took like a somewhat imaginative 12 or 13 year old who had, you know, grown up on all of the comics and science fiction and had kind of this base level understanding of all of the tropes from all of those things, and you said, write us a script for a TV show, that's what these shows would be. I mean,
okay,
there is no... Yeah. And, you know, Adult Swim has traded for years in, like, this uber sense of doing everything, you know, ironic to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe because I haven't really been privy to the evolution of Adult Swim, I'm probably missing a lot. But, you know, I feel like while they weren't necessarily great, there was some minimal... substance, at least some substance, if you wanted to find it, in things like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, C-Lab 2021.
Well, those two generally have at least a storyline in their show that you can follow. And you knew those before, you know, so, I mean, you would know, like, okay, I know what these characters are, and I know, you know, how they go and what you've seen before and all that.
So, you know, I got sucked into watching these shows, and it was just bad. And then you woke up again.
Because Benadryl makes you dehydrated, so I woke up.
You woke up again for a while, and then we found something else on TV. I don't remember what it was.
We were watching,
we watched Rachel Maddow for a little while.
Yeah, we did. And it was like a show that had aired originally hours before, you know, just gets replayed. So we were watching the thing with the activists that were blocking
the bridge in Portland.
Right, because they didn't want the shell boat to get to where it needed to go so that it could delay or prevent drilling in the Arctic. And we were watching that going, okay, that's new, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, after enough dumb TV, we finally, you went back to sleep, and I went to sleep for the first time, mostly with a varying amount of success. And, you know, later we got up and got everything ready and checked out of the hotel and made our way back on buses.
Right. And it went just fine. That was
mostly uneventful. However, one weird thing did happen on our second bus. And while, of course, we were traversing through the wonderful city of Atascadero, California.
Right.
Someone got on the bus, and I'm not sure what their deal was, but something about them smelled not so good.
Well, I can tell you what happened.
Okay.
Because I could see this. There was a guy who didn't look as old as us, but not quite much younger, right? And he got on the bus, and he was carrying a pillowcase, a white pillowcase that was stuffed with obviously more than a pillow, which his belongings apparently were in. And he sat in the first seat, not behind the driver, but the opposite side, in the row of seats where if there was a person that needed a wheelchair or had a wheelchair and needed that space, would, you know, the seats would be folded up, or if someone was elderly or disabled, would be sitting in those seats. He just kind of plopped himself down there, which isn't unusual. I notice a lot of young people just kind of stick themselves there, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, there was plenty of seats. It was no big deal. And he was sitting there for a bit, and he started talking to a couple of the other guys that were up there, and I don't think any of them really wanted to engage in conversation. They were just being like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. And at some point, he decided it'd be a good idea to take his shoes off.
Oh.
So he did that. He took his shoes off.
That's where it came from.
And, yeah, and it smelled horrible. And so, you know, a lot of us are like, what the hell?
We were in the back
of the bus, and the bus had lots of air conditioning rolling, you know. And it was pretty bad. It spread through the bus pretty quickly. And, you know, there was two teen girls in front of us, and I could see them, like, holding their nose, you know. Because the way I could see their arms positioned, they were holding their noses. And I was kind of like covering up my nose. And I was just like, oh, my God. And like, you know, I had mints in my purse that are really strong. Those Altoids. I'm like, give me one of those. It'll like, that's the only thing I'll smell while this, you know, because it's a strong mint, you know. And just, it was terrible. And eventually, a young guy who was sitting roughly across from us in the back here.
Yeah.
And he was a young, I don't know, maybe a college student, but an older college student.
Yeah.
And, he kind of had the look like maybe he'd been in the military or something similar. You know,
well,
he kind of had that look.
I definitely think, I think that he was, I don't know. He was carrying a very large backpack.
Right.
It kind of gave me the impression like maybe he was doing, you know, some sort of backpacking style traveling or something.
Yeah, but like he just had that like clean cut kind of I'm going to take charge kind of look, you know. So maybe he had some of that background because he seemed very comfortable.
Yeah.
And he's looking around at the rest of us and initiates conversations with the whole back of the bus at once. And he's like, does anybody smell something really bad that smells like feet or shoes?
Yeah.
And we all kind of went, yeah. And he's like, okay, I'm going to complain to the driver. You know, now we're the bus is moving at this point, you know. And the kid behind him might have been a high schooler. And he was sitting right behind this guy that said, yeah, I'm going to talk to the driver about this because this is, I'm going to complain. This is bad. And the kid behind him really loud goes, yeah, I could smell something really bad. And he points at the guy in the front and he goes, is that you? So the whole bus, if the bus didn't know before, the entire bus is aware it's this guy. You know, most of us that could see what had happened and figured it out pretty quick.
And he's like, yeah, is that you? And he starts saying, you know, like, that smells really bad. You need to put your shoes on and all this. And I think the guy kind of like waved at him like, whatever, whatever. Right. You know, didn't really do anything. Nothing changed. So as soon as the bus pulls up to the stop, the guy that said he was going to complain to the driver, he waited for people to get on and he waited for people to get off. And he walked up to the front like he was getting off the bus, which it turned out he was going to do. And talked to the driver. And I could see, you know, he's talking to the driver and he's saying, and I could hear him say that smells really bad. And that, you know, this guy needs to get off your bus. This just isn't right. And another guy had just stepped off the bus right before, and the driver went, oh, do you mean that guy that just got off the bus? And the guy turned around and said, no, turns his body around, points at the guy with the pillowcase with the shoes off and says, this guy right here. So he's been pointed out twice now.
Yeah.
And so the guy decided to get off the bus at that stop. It was at, I mean, it wasn't in the middle of nowhere. It was like, I can't remember what it was exactly.
I'm of the impression that the shoe guy was... You know, he was taking the bus to somewhere else in Atascadero, so he just got off at another stop in Atascadero.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where he did. So he got off, and then the guy that said he was going to complain also got off the bus because that was his stop.
His stop, yeah.
Yeah.
I am kind of stunned and frightened by the fact that that guy's, you know, feet and shoes could smell that bad.
It was horrible.
Because it was really bad.
It was bad. It was, yeah.
I figured it was whatever he was carrying in that bag.
No, it was his shoes and his feet and his socks that were doing it. And, you know, like the other guy said, he knew what it was. And
you know, living where we do, you know, we encounter homeless people and transients a lot. And that's just, you know, the way of things.
So that's the other weird thing, too, because when you encounter people that are homeless and are homeless for a while and traveling through, they generally have like a backpack or a bag. This guy had a pillowcase. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, generally, I mean, I've seen people who are homeless long term that have, you know, if anything, they have maybe a trash bag or something, you know, but not a pillowcase. Like something weird was going on with this dude, you know?
Yeah, this was
and not he was dressed in shorts and a light t-shirt, and you generally see people that are homeless having layers because they're outside, you know?
Right.
So I don't think he was homeless, but I don't know what was going on with this dude, but it just something wasn't right, you know?
Yeah, it was not your typical case for even, you know, kind of weird homeless person you run into sometimes.
Right, and I mean, you know, when you get to the point where the two, you know, young, strong-looking dudes in the back are going, is that you, you know? You would think this would give him the idea that perhaps he should put his shoes on now, but he didn't get that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that kind of stuff happens and I'm on a bus, I just kind of go, you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. That's kind of my attitude because the driver has a certain amount of discretion as far as kicking people off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I knew was at this point, because the bus had been rolling for about 10 minutes and it's warm enough that, you know, the AC's on, and really these buses don't have windows that open.
Right.
So
things are already ruined at this point.
In that environment, it takes a while for that kind of problem to just air itself out.
Right. And well, I think because the gentleman that complained looked like he meant business and appeared to have like a military background. Like he could back that up if he had to, you know, wasn't going to start anything, but he was clearly the guy in charge at that moment. And I think if anyone else had complained other than that guy, maybe the guy wouldn't have felt, okay, I'm going to get off this bus. But because it was this guy who looked like he could back up, you know, yelling at this dude or insisting that he got off the bus, the guy got off the bus, you know?
Well, anyway, so, you know, we had to then, you know, live with reducing levels of...
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible.
For pretty much the rest of the bus ride.
Yeah, like, I don't even know why someone would take their shoes off on the bus anyway.
Either.
I don't even get that.
I mean,
like, not even
clearly...
children do this, you know? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I guess we pretty much have to call this guy what he is. He's a domestic terrorist, and he needs to be put on a watch list.
He needs to get off the bus, that's for sure.
He pretty much bombed a bus.
Yeah, I mean, it was essentially, it was pretty bad. But, like, I don't, like, why would you take your shoes off? Like, first of all, if your shoes are sitting on the ground, which his were, they were on the floor of the bus, and the bus is moving, you know, stops and starts, anything you have sitting on the floor that's not being touched and is not held down is going to slide somewhere, you know? Wouldn't you want to keep track of your shoes, for one thing, you know? And secondly, yeah. I can't imagine anyone wanting to have their feet or their socks touch any part of the bus on their own. Like, that's what your shoes are protecting you from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't even know what was going on with this dude, but whatever, you know?
So anyway, we get to the end of that bus ride, and before we get to our last bus, we decide to have something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
At the venerable Luis's place.
Yes.
And which usually Jen can't go to
because they close while I'm still sleeping because I am nocturnal and mostly. And we went and we discovered on their menu that now have gluten-free French toast. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't had French toast in forever.
Yeah.
Now, you never know if the gluten-free version is going to match up to like the real stuff, you know, because there's differences, man. But I thought, okay, I'm going to try that. And it turned out they had just run out of gluten-free bread. So I had an omelet instead, and it was just fine.
Yeah. So that pretty much ends that story.
Yeah. And then we went to get on the last bus to get home. And on the way, we're heading towards the transit center. And there's this guy standing by the library, and he's got a backpack up on, like,
the voter.
Yeah. And he's got a backpack, and he just looks like a college student. And he's, like, digging through his backpack or whatever, and I'm just walking by, like, okay, cool, whatever. And he's like, hey, are you guys voters? And I'm like, are you guys registered to vote? And I'm like, yeah. And Sean says, hey, we're catching a bus. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, okay, let's see. It's warm out. I'm wearing a hoodie. Okay. It's not zipped, but I'm wearing one, long sleeves, the whole deal. I've got jeans on that I actually wore to the fair the day before. So I'm sure they don't look perfectly clean. You know, I'm carrying a backpack that's like pretty big, full of stuff. And, you know, you're also wearing a hoodie and you're carrying a bag with you, right? Why would you think, okay, if you assumed that we were registered voters, what makes you think that we live here based on our appearance, you know? Yeah. It was just kind of like, I don't even know what you're doing, dude, but I suspect I know what the petition might have been for.
Yeah.
There is a petition going around. Long story short, fairly recently, a law had gone through the system and been signed by Governor Jerry Brown that says you have to vaccinate your children if you'd like them to attend public school, private school, daycares, and various other things like that. And that's the short of
Chuck E. Cheese.
No, it's not that. And it's supposed
to
go
in the ball pit without proof of vaccination.
No, it doesn't cover that at all. But it doesn't go into effect until 2016. It doesn't. If you're homeschooling, this does not apply. Because the purpose is, of course, to prevent spread of disease. So if you're homeschooling, there's a limited amount of people you can run into if your child's not vaccinated and you catch something, you know. So that's kind of the point of it. And it goes into effect in 2016, and there are certain groups that are going to be grandfathered in. But the main point that's of contention is that this law wipes out the ability for parents to just opt out of vaccinating their children based on the parent's personal or religious belief. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to, in fact, have a doctor, see your child and determine that, you know, okay, because your child has this condition or there's a family history of another child in your family having a really horrible reaction to a vaccine or something like that. It's something specific. You know, your child has leukemia and their immune system is shot. They can't get vaccinated. You know, these kinds of things. You're exempt, okay, from that because of that. But you have to get a doctor to sign something. And there's none of these, like, I think, you know, none of the people that don't want to vaccinate their kids because they're concerned about giving them autism or whatever else they may be, you know, which it doesn't, it doesn't. But that went into effect. And there was a group of people who came and yelled at the legislature because they did not like this law, because there's a group that feels that this wipes out parents' ability to make their own decisions about their children and what goes into their children's bodies. So they're very upset about this group. And there is at least one politician who was also upset, and that person went through the process of paying for and filling out the paperwork for a ballot initiative in California, which you can do. And the ballot initiative essentially would overturn this law, long story short. So I suspect the people with the petition probably have at least one petition. If they sometimes they have more than one, but one of them I'm going to bet has something to do with that particular law, is what they're doing. And there's a limited time. You have to get a certain number of signatures in a limited amount of time with any ballot, any measure that's trying to get on the ballot, no matter what it is. And if you hit that mark, then someone verifies those signatures. You know, you don't want to have, you know, Fred Flintstone on there. You know what I mean? Right, you have to make sure they check to make sure that those people signed. You sign your name if you're going to sign a petition. You sign your name and your address. And so someone can check, okay, does this person live here? Is this person a registered voter? And determine from there how many signatures are valid to make sure, okay, did they hit that mark or not? If they hit the mark, it goes on the ballot, which would be the 2016 ballot coming up next year. And then people can vote, you know, here is this thing. Do you want this thing? Yes or no? That's kind of your options. A little more description in there. And the outcome of that determines whether that initiative passes or fails.
Yeah.
It's a long process. Not all states have them this way.
And the ultimate point of all this was we were going to catch a bus, so we didn't sign anything.
Yeah, but that's what I think was going on with it. We did also see, unrelated to this story, I think when we went grocery shopping, I think it was actually when we were getting the computer fixed. One of those times.
Yes.
We came out of...
That's when it was.
Right. Yeah. We came out of Target, which is near where the computer store is. And there were two guys that had set up three little card tables and a huge sign that said something like, fix Jerry's loopholes or something. Yeah. And I'm just looking at them going, I'm not talking to you. I don't know what you've got there, but it's three card tables and a sign you brought with is a bit much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I kind of feel bad for these petition people because they get paid by the signature.
Yeah.
And so they could be there all day. And if they don't, and if they barely get any signatures, they're not getting paid really.
Right.
So it sucks. Like it's a really bad system if you think that that's a job opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, so I see where there's a time limit and the guy is asking anyone, you know, desperate to get the right mark of signatures or to get some more money off of it or whatever. But honestly, we could have passed for homeless at that point fairly easily. You know?
Maybe.
We definitely look like tourists with the backpack and everything like that. Not like a school backpack, like a hiking backpack, you know? And I'm just going, why would you think, and to sort of jump out of the, you know, hey guys, you know? Oh no. It's better when they're standing somewhere open so you can approach them if you want to. But this guy I thought was just like he'd gone to the library and he's putting his book in there or something, you know? Nope. Wasn't it. Sneaking up on people, like that's not cool, you know?
Yeah. So then we went home, and that was pretty much the end of the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm recovering from all of that now, is essentially. Right. That brings us back to the beginning when we said we'd get back to later about what I'm recovering from. There we are.
Well, and the other thing is we had a few other things in our show notes to go over, but this show is long enough that we'll save those for the next time.
Okay.
But I do want to say... because I did kind of mention this earlier, but you know, this show we're recording episode 45 of this version of Hyper Nonsense, and we don't really talk so much about the show numbers because we just don't. But you know, I did look at the download statistics before we started, and in the month of July, as we're recording this on August 1st. In the month of July, our big show here racked up just a shade past 400 total downloads for the entire month. That means you know, the fantastic thing about you is
I don't understand numbers. It sounds good.
Anything that's over zero, you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Right, because I have trouble comprehending numbers, which is why if I'm looking up something or two,
point,
I have to do a lot of research to make myself understand.
My point is to say, you know, when you do something like a podcast, you don't want to get caught up in the mindset of, you know, I only have this many downloads, whatever the number is.
So I'm set, because whatever it is, I'm going, yay.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, we can probably figure that, you know, this podcast is maybe has an audience of, you know, 50 to 100 if we're lucky. It's probably closer to 50 than it is to 100. And there's a lot of reasons for that and whatnot and everything else. And I'll admit that lately I'm kind of having that feeling again about, you know, does this show need to exist? And I don't know how you feel about it, but I kind of go back and forth because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily take a lot of time.
No.
We're kind of falling into a pattern of doing, you know, 2 to 3 episodes a month. And I know some people, the few of you that have been listening a long time are rolling your eyes because it's like, what, are they going to quit again? But, you know, there comes a point when you start to look at the value of something versus the time and all that. You know, it is still fun to do the show, and that means something. And we know some people are listening because we get a little bit of feedback.
We do.
And,
mm-hmm.
We are running a Patreon that has supporters,
right.
And we appreciate
that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
We are still trying to reach our goal of 15 and 15. So if you go to hypernonsense.com/Patreon, you can be the person to throw a dollar a month in there and get us to our new goal of 15 and 15. And I'll admit that, you know, we launched the Patreon on the heels of us announcing our bankruptcy. And mm-hmm. I really thought that kind of news would bring a few more people into it.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, like with Patreon and everything else is like, if you're just on social media and you have a handful of people that you're following that aren't like close relatives or close friends, that kind of thing, you've got some strangers in there, you're undoubtedly going to see other people retweet other people's calls for help, or they want, you know, they have a Patreon, they have a GoFundMe, they have a, you know, a Kickstarter, they have a whatever that they need money for, you know, because of whatever's going on in their life. And it's, I kind of hit like this saturation point
there's a fatigue.
Like right now, I know we don't have any money for this. So that makes the decision of, is this something I should put money towards? You know, I feel bad for this person. There's no money. So that's easy. But, you know, you have no option. You can't give it. You know, I'll retweet some of them. But after a point, it's like, you know, I just retweeted one of those, you know? And I mean, you do hit a point where it's like everybody's got their hand out. You know?
Yeah, and I get that.
And that includes us. I mean, you know?
And I get that, and I understand. I have no expectation because I don't know what to expect. And I'll admit that when it comes to the Patreon, we're not really doing anything to entice people to join. We haven't, you know, added any particular goals or things like that, because knowing how small the audience is and we hear from so few people, I don't really know what people want. You know, like, what could we do to add value to this that you would, you know, pay for? I mean, if we did live shows, that's one thing we could do. And I mean, we don't have to do like we've done, you know, live shows on Periscope.
Right, we've done that.
But, you know, we don't have to go, you know, in my dream place, you know, I want to, you know, have, you know, video cameras and do a multi-camera thing. And, you know, my experimentation with that just never quite gets to where I want it to be. But, you know, there's other things we could do. We could do a live audio stream that requires a lot less overhead and equipment.
We could do that.
And that's something that to do it right would cost us money. And I've thought about, you know, making a tier of, okay, if we get so much money per month in Patreon, then, you know, we could afford to stream the shows live. But I don't really know if that's something people want. I guess I could add it to Patreon and see.
You know, if people can decide if that's something they like. But, I mean, I don't know what I could do individually to help with this as far as content. No. But I know, like, some people like my rants. So we could do, like, a hit this amount of money and you pick the topic and I'll do a rant for you.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
I don't know. I get more attention from, in the past when I was doing my own show, where the only variable was me, really, for the most part. I got more comments when I did rants than when I didn't.
And I know when I'm on Twitter and I'm writing haiku where I'm complaining about something, I get more retweets than the ones that are about, like, you know, the nice little bird in my tree over here, you know? Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, do people want that? Does this amuse you? I don't know.
Well, it's something that we'll have to do some experimentation with. Mm-hmm. And I want to stress that this isn't, you know, I don't want everybody who's currently supporting us on Patreon to jump off because they figure we're going to quit. I mean, this is not an announcement of anything. It's just, I'm at a stage in life in general where I'm kind of looking at everything I'm doing and looking at everything that I would like to achieve. And when I look at this show and what it's doing, you know, it's kind of like, okay, this show made sense in 2006 because what we're doing is kind of what podcasting was all about. And in 2015, it's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is, yeah.
There's there's a lot of better stuff out there if you want to find it. And, you know, I don't have any delusions as far as what I think. Like, okay, this show is never going to get featured anywhere. It's never going to
Well, it doesn't fit very easily into a category, you know what I mean?
Well, and not only that, the other question is, you know, kind of getting really deep into all of this is, you know, who is this show for and why does it exist? And if we just go, it exists because it's fun for us to make it, then anything it does is gravy. If we make a dime off of it, then that's, you know, it's sort of like we just sort of go, it's a hobby and that's all it is. And, you know, one of the things that I want to do and I think we should do, and we've kind of tried at this not as hard as we could have, is, you know, building some sort of business, not so much in the sense of we're going to make podcasts and monetize those directly, you know, in the way that, you know, the really popular shows do, like where we're, you know, running ads for Squarespace or
that's one a lot of people
Casper know. Or whatever. I mean,
that, Audible.
We are not going to, we're not likely to be able to do anything that's going to attract an audience that big. I don't merely mean like that. I just mean, you know, providing certain types
numbers,
of services.
So, yeah.
And, you know, we don't really have kind of a flagship platform to kind of put a flag on. And the people that I see who are succeeding with this have that. And I want to make that. And every month I go, this is the month I'm going to get started on it. And then the month goes by and I haven't started on it. And I'm trying to kind of understand, well, where's my time going? And some of it goes to this. Now, I will admit that I could be a bit better with how I handle my time. I think sometimes I let the well of the things I see on social media to kind of suck me in, and then I don't even realize how much time has gone by.
I think that happens to a lot of people.
I've been trying to find a tool I can use, and I haven't found one that I like that will just tell me if I've got, you know, if, okay, let's say from the time that I get up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
If, you know, I've done my usual stuff, checked my email, done all that, and then if I, you know, click over to Facebook, and what I would like is if from that point onward, you know, once I've hit, say, 5 minutes of having Facebook as my active tab, I want it to alert me and say, okay, you've been on Facebook this long. You know, now it's time for you to do something else. Same thing with TweetDeck. And I haven't really found anything yet that does that. Now, in my little experimentations I've done to try to understand where my time is going, I've kind of worked out that I don't really think I'm spending as much time on that stuff as I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just know that there's a lot more I would like to do than just do this podcast, and I'm making zero progress on it. So I'm trying to determine if this podcast is somehow standing in the way of that, or if it's just my own, you know, my own mismanagement of my own time. And I guess I don't have an answer. So,
well, this month though, and like the end of last month, or you know, last couple months, have been kind of busy. You know,
true,
because your birthday's this month and our anniversary's this month, and you know, so there's extra things that you know are you're doing yeah. that you don't do every week because it's not your birthday every week. You know,
it's not.
Yeah, really, I know. So I think some of it is that, you know,
yeah.
that this month may not be the best example of. True. Where's my time going?
True.
Because of all the busyness going on, you know, that things we're going and doing and stuff and the planning involved in those things and, you know, all of that. Like, we just spent a bunch of time on buses, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And this is not maybe the perfect month to say this is a good example of where my time is going because we've been doing things this month that we wouldn't normally be doing, you know, on a regular basis. Like, I've been out the door to events twice this month. Can't say I've done that in the last... well, this year, really, you know, because my health sucks now.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not a good example of nothing got done this month. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I mean, it's summer and these are, you know, your birthday and our anniversary and stuff. You should yeah, yeah. celebrate, you know, and like, you know, get off the computer maybe and do something, which we
what?
Did. I know.
Impossible.
I know. I mean, I guess you could like, you know, set up Twitch and stream something if you wanted, if that was what you wanted to celebrate. But, you know, anyway, so I think maybe look into it for August when you don't have these events going on and, you know, just kind of see how it goes
yeah.
and figure out what's going on. Like with me, there's a ton of stuff I want to write and I never get all of it done because I have more ideas than I have time and energy. Part of the problem is I'm sick all the time, so that takes up a lot of time and that's why I have no energy, you know? I mean... I know my limits, and I'm kind of working around them enough so I can make money. You know?
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is what I love. You know, we haven't gotten any new iTunes reviews in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to hypernonsense.com/iTunes, that's the quickest.
Quickest. Wow.
That's
what's that?
That's the quickest way. Right now.
There's going to be a startup somewhere called QuickWist that
there
does something. I'm not sure what it will do, but it'd be very fast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's the fastest way you can get to our iTunes listing right now. And I have a system in place that allegedly is working, and I will see it when you leave an iTunes review.
And then
so
we'll read it on the show.
If you leave
and
one,
we'll
read it on the show. And just be honest, you know, mm-hmm. if you think the show sucks... You can leave a 1-star review, but they give you up to 5, so maybe do 2.
Right. And if you just write, this sucks, that doesn't help because we don't know what sucks.
Right.
So.
Or for that matter, if you really, you know, if you've been listening for a while or somehow you just found us, I can't imagine how you'd find the show in 2015, but if you did, and you want to send a well-formed critique.
Critiques are good. Yeah.
show@hypernonsense.com will get it to us.
Right.
And, you know, I know that there are still people who've listened for a long time that are there because we hear from them every now and
right.
then, and
mm-hmm.
that's appreciated.
Yes.
And of course, if you really love us, you can go to hypernonsense.com/support. And, you know, there's all kind of ways if you want to actually spend money that you can help us out. And of course, the Patreon thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really love for someone who's currently not in the Patreon.
So someone additional is what
to sign up at that $1 a month. It's $12 a year. $1 a month and get us to 15 in 2015. So enough of this. And we'll try to end the show on something that's funner.
Okay. Sure.
So this year, sadly, David Letterman retired. Absolutely one of my heroes. And I have yet to watch his last show. It's one of these things I need to figure out how to do. But Letterman was recently, if ever so briefly, taken out of retirement. And this article I have here says some things are more important than retirement. David Letterman was called back into action with a brand new top 10 list that was inspired by the recent presidential candidacy of Donald Trump.
Oh, that might be entertaining to check out.
Although he's been content since retiring as host of Late Show in May, Letterman called missing out on lampooning Trump's White House bid the biggest mistake of my life.
Oh, no. He'd really like to make fun of him. Okay.
Appearing with his pals Martin Short and Steve Martin at their live comedy show Friday night in San Antonio. He made up for lost time. So here's the top 10 list. Number 10, that thing on his head was the gopher in Caddyshack.
Oh, God. That's pretty bad.
Number 9, during sex, Donald Trump calls out his own name.
Oh.
Number 8, Donald Trump looks like the guy in the lifeboat with... Donald Trump looks like the guy in the lifeboat with the women and children. Not entirely sure I get that joke.
Is it in reference to like a commercial or something? Or is it just, I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm not sure.
I don't get it.
Number 7, he wants to build a wall. How about building a wall around that thing on his head?
Back to the hair again. Yeah.
Number 6, Trump walked away from a moderately successful television show for a delusional... he says Trump walked away from a moderately successful television show for a delusional... Oh, no, wait, that's me. Donald Trump weighs 240 pounds, 250 with cologne.
Oh, no.
Number 4, Trump would look like all American... Trump would like all Americans to know that thing on his head is free range.
God.
And 3, if president, instead of pardoning a turkey on Thanksgiving, he plans to evict a family on Thanksgiving. That's not a hairdo, it's a wind advisory.
Okay, that's clever. I've not heard that one before.
Number 2, Donald Trump has pissed off so many Mexicans, he's starring in a new movie entitled... No Amigos. This would be a reference to the Three Amigos movie that starred
Martin
Short and Steve Martin.
Right.
And number 1, just for dramatic effect, we'll do this. Thanks to Donald Trump, the Republican mascot is also an ass.
There
you go. All right.
So he had his opportunity to pick on Trump, which he wanted to do, and what he would have done if his show was still going. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
So you got anything else to add?
I don't think so. All right. I think that sums things up just fine.
Thank you so much for listening. HyperNonsense.com is our website. You can find everything there. You can comment on this show or previous shows. We love to hear from you. You can email us show at HyperNonsense.com. We haven't had any voicemail in such a long time. 805-725-5085 is the magic number on your telephone keypad. Program us in as a contact on your smartphone. If you're using iOS, just put it in as a company. HyperNonsense. Put in the phone number, 805-725-5085, and then you can call us anytime. In the middle of a show, you can just pause. You're listening. Flip over to your phone app. We'll be right there in your contact list. Boom. Actually, what I'd love for someone to try is put us in as a contact and then ask Siri to call us. See if it works.
Siri, call HyperNonsense.
let us
know if that works. That would be entertaining.
You know, we know that we got some Droid fans out there. Try it on your Droid. And if it works on your Droid, you can call us up and tell us, you know,
that it worked.
How awesome it is on your Droid and that you love your Droid and you hate Apple and you think we're a bunch of dummies because we buy all this Apple stuff that apparently breaks. And despite the fact that we have Tim Cook on our BFF list, on our personal contact list, we still can't get our stuff fixed
for free. Mm-hmm.
You can follow at HyperNonsense on Twitter. You can go to hypernonsense.com/Google. You can join our thriving Google Plus community, which I still think isn't up to 10 people.
Well, I think Google Plus has its own issues at this point.
And you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. If you go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe, all the options are there. And you can click on different links if you have other things. There's probably a way to make it work. If there isn't, send us an email. We'll figure it out. So, Thank you so much for listening. I won't say with any luck we'll be back with you next week, but we'll certainly be back with you in maybe 2 weeks, maybe less.
We'll see. You know,
depending on the next time we have, you know, anything to really talk about.
Right.
Because we're pretty boring.
Which I mean, we really could be the problem as well, you know.
Don't ever do anything, rarely.
Yeah. Well, especially this year. Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. Let's be done with the show.
All right. Bye, people.